Three guys, praise and worship.
Give you a new name.
Three guys, praise and worship. Thank you, guys. Praise God. Well, get your Bibles out. And if you would, go to 1 Peter. This always doesn't happen like this, but I felt this morning in my quiet time to the Lord that I've kind of got I guess you'd call it a directive for you tonight. Define directive. Prime directive, yeah. Well, it's off the press, and I feel like the Lord wants us to do this. And so let me give you just a little bit of something here, and then I'll get into this. 1 Peter 2:9, scripture you're probably familiar with, it says, "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now you've obtained mercy." You know, as non-Jewish believers, as Christians, you know, I know God knows the end from the beginning, but the bottom line is that, you know, you weren't in the family of God. You weren't in the chosen generation. You weren't in the people who God had given the law to. I mean, y'all ever think about this? It contained within your Bible 6,000 years of history of the Jewish nation. And what are we in America? You know, we ain't even made 300 yet. Right? Of our history. There's 6,000 years of history contained within the books, in the pages of your Bible. And all through the whole time of all the history of Israel, you see that, you know, God had chosen them as a nation. God had chosen them as a people. But then something happened, right? They wouldn't accept it. They wouldn't walk in it. And God says, I'm going to graft you in the olive tree. I'm going to graft you in. I'm going to take a branch. Now, it's kind of funny because my father, he was always trying in life. He was always trying new things. He always, you know, was always messing around doing something. He'd go from one hobby to the next and doing that. And he got into peach trees one time. And he went everywhere in the world. We bought these peach trees, and we had a peach tree, little orchard out back. And then he got into grafting. And I remember he got this guy, some I don't know who he was. I don't know if he was a friend or whoever. I was just a kid. But this guy came out and was trying to show Daddy how you graft into peach trees. And then so, you know, then it got to be, because we had the tree there growing and it was established. And then so then he got to going places and getting branches off of other peach trees, you know, and coming in there and grafting these things in. And so it was this big spectacle, you know, of going out there to the orchard to see if the graft took. And you know, I didn't know anything about it, never really thought about any of that. And it's funny how God puts little things like that in your life that you run across, and then you don't realize it until one day when I'm reading the Bible and talking about we've been grafted into the tree, and I realize, well, wait a minute, you know, I can understand this. I understand that we were just this branch that was brought in here, and we got grafted in because this orchard that my father had, then, you know, it began to produce, you know, like one tree would have different peaches all on it, you know, different kinds of peaches or strains of peaches, I don't know what you call them. And so you'd have this was this and this was that. And, you know, and as time went on, you know, that it was kind of cool to see this tree would have, you know, one tree would have three different kinds of peaches on it. And then I read the scripture that we've been grafted in and realized, you know, that if it wasn't for the grace of God, we were out, right? So I've always said we need to honor Israel. We need to honor the Jewish nation. We need to always be, you know, don't ever get crosswise with them because that's our root. That's our tree. You kill the tree, you kill us because we're all in it together. And it says here, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now, some translations say you're a chosen generation of kingly priests. Some translation says you're a kingly priesthood. And there's a few different translations, but it basically is good no matter how you cut it. All right? You're a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim. What are we going to do? Proclaim the praises of Him. Our job is in life to proclaim the praises of Jesus. Right? Why were you created? Why were you grafted in? Why were you there? Because God looked down and said, you know, there's a bunch of crazy people out there that if they'll just believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior and I'll graft them in there, they can be redeemed, and then they're going to be very useful to praise and proclaim my praises. Right? It's like I talked about Sunday. Sometimes in life we get the world forming around us, and we think the world rotates on us, when the truth of the matter is we've got to see the big picture. What we're all called to do is sing His praises. Amen? Who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are a people of God. Everybody say, I'm in the family. Who had not obtained mercy, but now you've obtained mercy. Everybody said, I got mercy. Okay. So, if God is our Father, right? And He's King, and you're sons, that makes you princes, right? Okay. So, the title of this message is, what do kings pray for? And I believe that the Lord gave me four simple things here to talk about to you tonight, about what do kings pray for. As a royal priesthood, as princes, as sons of God, as chosen people, what should be on your lips? Okay? Now, go over to Psalms 55. Let me show you something here. Look over in verse 17. Now, David here in Psalms 55 says, evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Now, these four things that I'm going to give you here tonight, and I don't want to bind you into something because I don't want you to end up in sin if you don't do it. I'm going to let you off the hook, okay? But I really felt impressed with the Lord telling me this morning, because you can also go over to Daniel 6:10, and it talks about that Daniel prayed three times a day. And I felt the Lord to tell me to encourage you tonight that these four points that I want to say to you need to come off of your lips three times a day. Morning, noon, and night. Or, you know, I don't think we're bound to a time. It doesn't have to be 12 o'clock noon. But I think you need to be aware of this, and you need to have this on your lips and this message. I think it's one of these write-me-down messages that need to go on your fridge that you need to keep looking at all the time, because it's something that God's going to begin to reveal to you more and more. It's just like the song that they were singing, you know, Holy Ghost, come on and blow through. The Holy Ghost is going to begin to open up your eyes and going to begin to show you personally what He wants to do. Because, see, I can preach a broad spectrum message here, but it's what the Holy Ghost is wanting. Because we're all unique people. We all have different things we're going through in different, you know, parts of life. And so the Holy Ghost will build on this message for your own life. Amen? Okay, so the first one is Psalms 51. Just turn a few pages over there. Psalms 51, verse 10. The first thing you need to start praying, and it comes off your lips three times a day, is, Lord, I don't want to be deceived. All right? David prayed it. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast or a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. You know, one of the things that I think is interesting about human beings is that we don't like to admit that we're wrong. For some reason, there's a prideful thing on the inside of us, and we just don't like to admit that we're wrong, or we made a mistake, or we thought wrong. You know, don't raise your hand on this one. Don't look at the floor, because you'll be caught. But have you ever thought wrong about somebody or thought ill about somebody, and then you finally found out later, well, the reason why they act like that is because they had a, you know, horrible childhood or something like this, and then you realize that you really weren't justified in your actions because you'd never walked a day in their shoes. I think it happened to all of us, you know what I mean? And so the thing about it is that there's this place in life that we've got to come to. And the more we walk in life, the more we have to do it, that we have to come to a place in our life of having a repentant heart. and saying, Lord, I don't want to be deceived. And the only thing that's going to keep us from being deceived is our heart has to be clean. And the only way our heart can be clean is we have to repent. And we have to live a lot. We have to live our lives. And when I say this, I don't mean that you have to pray on your knees, but we have to live our lives on our knees. We have to live our lives submitting unto Jesus, saying, Lord, man, I'm sorry. I got wrong thoughts. I don't want to get into sin. I don't want to stay in sin. I don't want to walk in sin. Lord, I know that today that I've had, ill thoughts, wrong thoughts, or said things out of my mouth, or things that didn't really glorify you, or Lord, whatever it is, I don't want it in my heart. Create in me a clean heart, Lord. I'll admit I'm a sinner. I do things wrong. Lord, I want to be better. Help me to be better. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. And when you begin to do that, what happens is then there's no place that deception can take root. Are you with me? Go back to Psalms 55. David says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from me, my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and my moanings noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. The reason why we, listen, I mean, if you want to do wrong, if there's just something on the inside of you want to do wrong, you really got a problem. I'm sorry. I mean, if you want to be ugly, there's times I want to be ugly, but I don't let myself be ugly. The Spirit of God stops you on the inside. I don't believe any of y'all tonight, I don't believe anybody listening to this broadcast is going to want to you sit down and you just set out your day and say, today I'm just going to be as ugly as I can be. We really want to do right, but because of the voice of the enemy in our ears and the oppression of the wicked, we get tripped up and we start to act like they act. Hello? I mean, because the world, the unregenerated soul wants an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I mean, that's the standard coming out of any Adamic nature that of every man born out there. It's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You hurt me, I'll hurt you. But a born-again soul says, okay, those that hurt me, I'm supposed to pray for them. Those that hurt me, I'm supposed to give them the shirt off my back. I'm supposed to help them. I'm supposed to love them. Are you with me? And then what happens is the enemy says, what the sorry dog, man, you ain't going to love him. What he said, guy's doing whatever he did, what he deserves. See, you're trying to get back to an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. The voice in your head's trying to get you there. Well, what happens is that the enemy's just trying to get you to walk in sin. So then the minute you start walking in sin, now you're available, you're opened up for deception. So all I'm telling you is you're not this horrible person because you had the thought. Because the enemy's trying to get you into that thought. You're not a horrible person for that. But you're going to get yourself in trouble if you don't find this place of repentance that you'll go and you'll say, Lord, I don't want to be deceived. I do not want to be deceived. I want to walk in truth. I want to walk in your ways. And if you keep your heart like that, then you're praying like a king prays. A righteous king doesn't want to do wrong. He wants to lead the nation in the right direction. Right? So it takes a little bit of killing your pride because you have to admit you're wrong. But, we're not supposed to have pride anyway. Okay? The second thing. Okay? Look in verse 22 of Psalm 55. The second thing that needs to be on your lips three times a day is, Lord, take the load off of me. I'm giving it to you. He says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. And he shall never permit the righteous to be moved. If you get burdened down by worrying about the things in the world, worrying about your life, worrying about what's going to go on, worrying about the next thing, and if you live your life in worry, you're going to end up missing Jesus and what he wants you to do. It doesn't mean that we're so que sera, sera, just, you know, whatever will be, will be. No, no. It means that we're saying, Lord, I can't handle this load anyway. So I'm casting the burden over on you. And as I cast my burden over on you, well, then, Lord, you're going to get everything cleared so I can see clearly what I'm supposed to do. Worry and fear and anxiety, all they do is bring burdens to your heart. Cause you to be sick, cause you to miss God. Do you know that, you know, there's this funny thing happening. It's not funny. That's the wrong word. Unusual thing happening in the world today. Is there, you know, like, you know, they keep statistics about everything. Well, now all of a sudden there's this big statistical rise in people being hit by cars that are walking down the street texting. Well, there never was texting before, right? So people are becoming so focused on looking at their phone that they don't see the car in front of them, they get run over. So now, like it's really kind of funny because, like, if you look back in, let's say, you know, 1989, it was zero. There wasn't no texting. But if you look at the figures today, it's, you know, there's this huge increase. You know, 42,000% increase. Well, there never was texting before. Well, of course it is. But people are so distracted, they don't see the car coming. Even myself, I've been texting before and walked into something. You know, like in the house or whatever. Walking inside of the cabinet or whatever, just because I'm distracted. So it happens, it's just like that with the load on your life, the burden on your life. If you don't take it to the Lord and cast it on the Lord and get it at His feet and get it prayed under and know that God has from heaven bringing the assignment, He's bringing something about it, it's going to work. Well, then what happens is you get distracted. So what do kings pray for? Kings take time to get the load off. So three times a day you need to stop and get the load off of you. Whatever it is. Three times a day, and you get the load off of you. Okay? Now go over to the New Testament. 1 Timothy. First Timothy 2:1. It says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplication and prayers and intercessions and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, for we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. The third thing kings pray for is peace. You know, folks, we're going through this election year and all these things are happening, all that. But you know what I want to see more than anything? I want to see peace. I'm not sitting around as a conservative wanting us to rule and dominate the liberals. I'm not, you know, whatever. I want peace. I want there to be peace and harmony. You know what I mean? And I really don't understand sometimes why people can't find a place of peace. But kings pray for peace. They want a kingdom that's in peace. If you go back and you look at the greatest, most glorious time in Israel's history was in the reign of King Solomon. And you go look at all of the things that were going on. Man, everybody had a job. Everybody had food. Everybody, there was goodness in the land. There was no wars. There was peace. There was construction being done. It was opulence in Jerusalem in those days. I mean, I was just doing some study and some reading about just the two water laverns that were in the sanctuary each held about 23,000 gallons of water. So it's like 50,000 gallons of water. And I was thinking, they're in the desert. Where'd they get 50,000 gallons of water? And it said they changed it daily. I'm like, what? That's a lot of water. The point is that It was God's goodness on the people. Because Solomon's heart was to be a king who was a righteous king. And he said, look, he went to the Lord and said, man, I am just like a child. I don't know what to do. You're going to tell me what to do. You're going to tell me everything to do. And God laid it out and they did it and they followed his plan. And there was no wars and there was peace and everybody had a job. And it talks about how many, you know, the food and everybody, and that whole reign was peace. But when you read about it, that it's a good thing. You don't look and say, guys, didn't even have a war then. And folks, that's what we need. We need peace. And God says, if you pray for those in authority, you pray for the kings, you pray for those things going on, that then you can live a quiet and peaceful life. So what do kings pray for? Kings pray for peace. You need to, in your life, ask God for peace to come into your life. And how are you going to get peace? Well, you're going to pray for all those around you, pray for this nation we live in, pray for the state. You know, and again, I think all of us are called to different forms of a life of prayer. Some people, intercessory prayer is their life. It's everything. You know, you may be the person who has the whole list of every state representative in Texas, and you prayed for each of them by name and go down through there. I'm not. I fully well stand up and say, Lord, I thank you. I bless the Congress today. I think God blesses everyone. I don't think God said, well, he didn't specifically call out so-and-so. But if so-and-so's on my heart that day, I pray for him. But then, like I said, there's other people, that's not the way you pray. That's okay. That's all cool. But the bottom line is we need peace. And God says, if we pray for those in authority over us, we need peace. We'll go, I have peace. Amen? So, first one, you're going to pray, don't be deceived. Second one is, you're going to take off the load. You're going to say, Lord, I'm getting the load off of me. And the third one is, you're going to pray for there to be peace in the kingdom. Amen? The fourth one, still there in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2, I'll pick it back up in verse 3. It says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be tested in due time. Which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle, and am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. The fourth thing is that we got to pray for is that the kingdom of God reigns. Folks, no matter what you think of people, God wants everybody saved. Is everybody going to get saved? No. But God wants everybody saved. There's not a person in the world walking down the street that God does not want in his kingdom. We need to be praying that an effectual door opens up for the gospel to be preached. We need to be praying that people have ears to hear. I think a church that just gets full and then we just don't look out the walls, I think we're wrong. I think we got to be a church that's always wanting everybody to come into the fold. I think it's a big spectrum. I think it's from saved to teaching all of the scholars. It's got to fill the whole gamut. But kings pray for God to reign in the kingdom. I believe revival really starts when our hearts are hurting for those that don't know Jesus. I believe when our hearts turn that away and turn soft and really care about others and their walk with the Lord. Now I'm kind of, I don't know what you want to call it. My thinking is I want to see people saved. I want to see people come to know Jesus. And then wherever they go to church, that's their business. But I want them to be saved. I want them to know Jesus truly. Now I have my views about what, you know, obviously I'm a pastor and I want people to talk the Word of God and to know who they are and be able to walk in it, walk out their salvation and walk in victory. I don't like to see people getting, run over in life because they don't know what tools they got in their toolbox and the pastor didn't teach them. I don't want people getting caught up in deceptive churches and things that are wrong. That's wacky. But the main thing is to let people know that they're to get people to know Jesus Christ truly and to be saved. And if they tell me I'm saved, I believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, I'm satisfied. I'm not going to say, how much time did you read your Bible? No, that's all going to grow them in sanctification and grace. But if they're really solid in their heart, they're saved, well, then I'm happy. You with me? And we need to have that attitude. I really, really want to encourage you. If you have friends around you, family around you, that you're not 100% sure that they're saved, these are the days that you need to sit down and talk to them about Jesus. These are the days that you need to because you care about them, you love them. I've had every person tell me everything in the world. Oh, I don't get all religious on me now when I ask them, and whatever. And those I just leave alone, come back around some other time. But I don't know, folks. We need to get bold. We need to get bold. Make sure that we know that in our hearts. That's what kings do. Kings want to know the state of their armies. Kings want to know the state of their flock. Kings want to know what's going on. And it's going to take us praying for it. Now, it's a dangerous thing to make a list of people you don't think might in your family or whatever aren't saved. That's kind of a dangerous thing. I would suggest don't do that. But, you probably know who the Holy Ghost impresses on you to pray for. Because then they'll find it. Oh, you think I'm not saved, huh? And it causes a big stink. Big problem. I'm on the list. But I just believe that kings, we have to do this. We have to take time to do this. And what I felt impressed about the Lord was saying, he's saying it to me, that three times a day, these things, Lord, I don't want to be deceived. I'm casting off my burdens. I'm praying for peace in the kingdom. And I'm praying for the kingdom of God to reign. Come off my lips. And like I said, I believe the Holy Ghost will take the basis of this message and then he's going to turn it around and he's going to build it for you specifically. He's going to show you and illuminate you. If you'll take some time and spend some time with these scriptures and what the Holy Ghost is saying to you tonight, take some notes and put some, jot some other things down in your own quiet time, the Lord's going to begin to mold things for you individually. Because this is really broad tonight. You could just keep adding stuff and adding it, but it was those four things I felt like he told me. And I don't know. I just really believe that this is going to be something that, I think the song was fitting tonight. The Holy Ghost is going to blow through your house and fill the place. He's going to begin to speak to you and show you. And it's going to be good. It's going to be real good. Amen? So these are things kings pray for. So kings, princes, sons of God, chosen generation, royal priesthood, get to praying. Get to praying. Amen? Well, praise God. Matter of fact, let's just stop right now and let's just pray these four things. So whatever God's speaking to you, you can do it. I'm just going to generally pray here. But Father, I just declare right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I declare tonight we don't want to walk in deception. So Lord, any place right now in our lives that we've been caught, listen to the lies of the enemy, listen to anything going on that's got us into deception, got us into sin, got us into anything, Lord, we repent about it right now. We just ask your blood to wash us and cleanse us. Lord, we want eyes to see and ears to hear. We want a great flow going through our lives. And so, Lord, we cast all our burdens upon you, things we're worried about. Lord, we just cast them over on you right now. Things that are troubling us. Give it to you. Because we know that if we're carrying a load, man, we're not flowing like we should. And so, Lord, also we pray tonight for peace in the kingdom. We pray for our country. Pray for our leadership. Pray for all those around us. Lord, in any position. We just lift them up to you because, Lord, we want to see peace in the kingdom. We pray for this nation, how torn it is. We just pray, Lord God, for peace in the kingdom. And, Lord, we just pray tonight that, God, you reign in the kingdom. That all of those around us that don't know you, Lord, they're going to get saved. They're going to know you. The Lord, you're going to use everything in their lives, including us, to get them to know you, because there's only one mediator between God, man, and that's you, Jesus. So, Lord, let Jesus be exalted in their lives. Let them come to know you. So that they can be saved and in the kingdom. And Lord, we just pray and we ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.